you would like, and that money, you know, it's very helpful for our Pink Cross Foundation, as we help a lot of women get out of the industry and we help them recover from abuse, whatever it is. So that money is very helpful to help them, to give to them and help them with whatever they need. So I hope you enjoy the message and may God move greatly in your hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany. It was a pleasure meeting Tiffany this week, as well as, of course, Shelley and Carrie came from Port Colborne, Ontario. So it's good to have Shelley as well. But, you know, if I can, as we welcome Shelley to the front, if I can try to collapse or pray-see what I believe Shelley is about, is I feel she is a mix between a modern-day Moses that came out of Egypt, God miraculously took out of Egypt and now was bringing back into Egypt. And in her case, Egypt is the whole porn industry that is a multi-billion dollar industry that is wreaking havoc and destruction on the lives of families by way of the men, primarily. And she's going back in to really let the people of God go again. It's like she's saying to Pharaoh, let my people go. And at this stage, she is primarily alone in the process of doing it. There are other voices that are taking place. The whole thing of human trafficking, sex trafficking is a major industry. And those of you that watched Nefarious several months back would be well aware of that. Shelley is right parallel tracks with this and everything that she's doing. And the other symbol that I feel that represents Shelley is the whole thing of David rising up against the Goliath. You know, taking those smooth stones and just nailing that sucker and killing and knocking his head off, because I believe she will do that, honestly. And she's a very much a modern-day hero, because if we look at David and Moses as heroes, I believe Shelley is a hero, where the stuff that she's gone through, nobody would want to wish on their worst enemy, and yet you see the results and the fruit of it. And then we come today, and we have the opportunity to be praying for this woman and this team, her and her husband, phenomenal Christ-like man from what I've gathered and everything that I've heard. But why don't you come on up, Shelley, and let's stand and give Shelley a warm welcome. And we want you to know, too, that, you know, typically we aim to pick up our children around 12:30, 12:45 range. Be sensitive to that if you need to leave at that time. But we just want to make sure that for those of you that recognize that the Lord is speaking to you and you've kind of been locked into this, we're going to take some time to minister. And so if it goes a little bit longer, you're always welcome to leave when you need to. We ask that you go quietly. We don't know how long it's going to go with Shelley, but she does have planes to catch this afternoon, so it won't be forever and a day. But I feel like, you know, there's Kairos times in the heart of God where it's time to get set free of stuff. It's time to take the ceiling off the men, and it's time to be released. And we need not go any farther than read the book of Proverbs to see what a danger this whole area is all about. So Lord bless you, Shelley. Go for it. Oh, you got that. You're good stuff. You will soon. Work? Is it clicked in here? Has it been turned on the actual case? You took the case off and turned it on the main. Mm-hmm. Okay. Test. Should be on. Try again. It shows on. The power's on. That button there is on off, but it shows on right there. Right? See, now it's off. Hold it.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
No. Might have to. Can you try one more time, Mark? Is it working?
It's just the devil. Rebuke him in Jesus' name.
That's right. Yeah. Come,
hello?
Holy Spirit.
Good morning. So have you heard the one about the blonde in the bar?
The mute switch.
Well, I want to tell you what I felt God show me about this church that I just cannot I cannot even get over it. He just keeps saying, Shelley, this church is so humble. This is the most humble church I've ever spoken at. Can you hear me now? Oh, good. God is faithful. And so I want to encourage you. The Lord gave me a scripture, and he said, you know, Shelley, when people submit themselves to me and they humble themselves before me, I lift them up. So he's going to lift you up this morning because you guys are ripe. Anything that you need, he's going to lift you up this morning. I just want to encourage you. All right. Well, I'm going to share my story with you, and I'm going to need a lot of grace to do it. It's not easy to talk about what I've been through, and I just ask all of you to give me grace to tell this story. When I was a little girl, I loved Jesus. Loved going to Sunday school. The first 8 years of my life, I was in heaven. Every Sunday, I looked forward to like munching on Ritz crackers and hearing my Sunday school teacher teach me about Jesus and how he died on the cross for my sins and that he loved me and, you know, all the stories about Moses, the whole Old Testament, Joshua. I just loved going to Sunday school. And after my 8th year, our parents moved to a whole new community and my world fell apart at 9 years old. I was sexually abused by a teenage boy and his sister, and it devastated me. At 9 years old, I had my first homosexual and heterosexual experience, and I couldn't tell anyone. I felt dirty, ashamed, and I was afraid if I told my parents, they would get mad at me. I had no one to talk to about this, and I wasn't really close to my parents either. We were what I call a pseudo-Christian family that said we were Christians, but there was really no love of Christ in the home. So I would love to go to Sunday school, but to go back home, I wasn't close to my family. And we also grew up on television where we watched and worshiped shows about sex, homosexuality, swinging. I mean, I would be 9 years old munching on Cheetos, watching Fonzie make out an inspiration point. Everyone thinks Happy Days was so innocent, but at 9 years old, Fonz making out, watching The Love Boat, you know, learning stuff about divorce, or watching Archie Bunker, we learned about racial slurs. In fact, that show had to have a disclaimer on it the first time we watched it. Yet I was allowed to watch whatever I wanted, and that's how I began to be formed and be developed by television. In fact, I'm kind of animated because I watch so much television. Ricky and Lucy and Jack Tripper, all of those. You can tell I'm a little bit older, I'm 43. But at 9 years old, when I was sexually abused, I had no one to tell, and I was very shameful. And in fact, a voice came to me and said, you're a bad, dirty little girl. And so I began to act out sexually without even understanding really what I was doing. And I started masturbating at 9 years old. And as I grew and got older, and I felt neglected by my parents. I felt like as a sexual abuse victim, you also blame the parents because you feel like you weren't protected. And so you begin acting out. And I started searching for love in all the wrong places and started looking to boys to tell me, because I understood that sex with boys meant that they loved me. And because my own father didn't take the time to tell me he loved me, by the time I was a teenager, I was the teenager from hell. Literally, I was so black and hardened and constant arguing with my mother. Every single day in my high school years was arguing between me and my mother, constantly. Belittling me, calling me names, verbally abusing me, and then I would verbally abuse her back. And so, as a teenager, became extremely rebellious, going out to nightclubs, drinking at 16. My parents found bottles of alcohol, and yet nothing was ever done about it. I was yelled at a lot, but no one ever asked me, Shelley, what's wrong, honey? No one ever took the time to do that. I was the black sheep of the family. My mother called me names like peculiar, weird, you know, forgetful. You're so lazy. Why can't you be more like your sister? That's what I grew up with. So between sexual abuse, feeling so unworthy, and between the rejection of my parents, I utterly hated myself even in my teenage years. And I couldn't understand, where's Jesus? When I was a little girl, Jesus used to walk and talk with me normally. And he actually told me, Shelley, someday you'll preach the gospel to thousands of people. That's what he told me when I was about 6. And so when I'm a teenager, I'm looking at Jesus like, what happened? You said I'll be preaching the gospel. Look at me now. And I started to stop caring about myself. I just wanted to feel what those boys thought of me if I gave my body to them. And so I began having sex at 16 years old, drinking alcohol, smoking pot. We snorted locker room back then. And I was allowed to drive. I was allowed to drive recklessly. My parents knew that. My dad, he's the one who taught me how to drive really fast because he had a hot rod and he liked to race it. And so at 17, I got my driver's license suspended. I was a wreck. In school, my grades were all like C's, D's, and F's. I didn't care. I ditched school. I cheated my way through high school, in all honesty. Back then, they didn't have computers, so you could just put an A. In fact, I superglued my entire high school, and I was a hero for a week. I was just out. I was just a terrible, terrible, rebellious teenager. In fact, my mother, I'd be watching TV, and she would come up to me and try and hit me with a spoon at like 16. I'd grab it midair, break it, and hand it back. Nobody tells me what to do by now. And so my dad got really sick of my treatment, the way I was acting in the house. And finally, he decided to care about his family. And right after I barely graduated high school, my dad told me, get out. Get out? Where am I going to go? What do you mean, get out? Get out. You're not living here anymore. I was in shock. And so I just kind of walked to my bedroom and I got a Bible and a small bag of clothes. And then my dad said four words to me I'll never forget. You're dead to me. And that just severed my identity. It just cut me off from the family. I had nothing or no one. And I found my way to the San Fernando Valley in California, which is the porn capital of the world, unbeknownst to me. Suddenly, I wasn't so all that, sitting there on a curb, homeless, with no food to eat. I had never, ever been homeless with no food to eat. And I just began to cry my eyes out, saying, Jesus, where are you? How could you leave me out here? You said I was going to preach the gospel to thousands of people. You said that I was going to do amazing things for you. Where's your care? Where's your help? And all of a sudden, a man walked over to me. He said, honey, what's wrong with you? I see you crying. I said, yeah, I'm crying because my dad kicked me out. And I told him the whole story. And this man, big chested man, just put his arm around me and held me close to his chest. And I remember thinking, this feels like a drug. I never had an older man just hug me before like that. And he lured me into a life of prostitution. Jesus didn't send him. Satan did. And I sold myself for $35 because I didn't care about myself anymore. Satan says, God doesn't care. Your parents don't care. Yeah, why should I care? And so as I began to get involved in prostitution, just imagine this. I'm a middle-class American girl, and overnight, I'm a teenage prostitute. And so I began to work with the pimp, and at first he was trying to not be nice and lure me in, but after that, after a couple of tricks, he started being very abusive. He started forcing me to do bizarre sex acts, so I actually had to physically break out of his apartment and go to another curb and try and go and sell myself. By now I'm in shock. I can't believe what's happened, and I just found myself walking into like places, businesses where men were at, mechanic shops, other places like that, and it became very dangerous for me. These men were very, very brutal to me, and after one man really frightened me, I actually ran out crying to Jesus, please get me out of this. Where are you? You said you love me. Where are you? And he was silent. He wasn't talking to me anymore. I figured I must be utterly unforgivable that Jesus won't even really talk to me anymore. And so after I started working on the street for a little while, a madam came and she found me and picked me up off the street and said, come here. I will take care of you. See, Satan sent me new parents because my parents were neglectful. So he sent me the pimp to be my father, and then he sent me the madam to be my mother. And she literally brought me into her home and taught me everything about personal hygiene, to how to barter with men and get every last dollar. We used to walk up and down Ventura Boulevard and sell our bodies just so we could get jewelry, furniture, whatever we wanted. And I became overnight just a mafia princess. Hardened criminal. But after a while, I got burned, and within the first 14 months that I was a teenage prostitute, I got pregnant twice. even though I was taught to be very careful. Let me tell you something. The men are so abusive, they tear their own condoms on purpose. They don't care about you. And so the first baby was so emotionally and physically painful. I lost the baby. And my parents knew I'd had a miscarriage. In fact, I was at their house. I went to their house when I got pregnant to try and maybe get to a doctor or something. And I remember after I lost the baby, I was bleeding. And my dad still said, you got to go. And so I went back to the madam's house and then continued to work, and I got pregnant again. Only this time my baby didn't die. It kept growing inside of me, and I knew I couldn't kill a baby. I still had values from Sunday school. And so I swore I would never do prostitution again, that I'm going to find another way to support me and my baby. And so I stole an older girl's ID, and I went to a strip club in downtown Los Angeles, and I started stripping at a club, making money, and it was mainly a Mexican bar, and they were really festive, and they're really wild, and I love to dance. So I thought, you know, this is going to be good, but right when they were throwing me the tips, they were throwing me bags of cocaine and got me hooked. See, men regularly fuel women for the sex industry. They want to get us high. They want to get us drunk so that way we can be wild and give them all their fantasies. So I would be getting high on cocaine. You know, I'm here, I'm pregnant with my baby, and I'm thinking just a little, but I became a cocaine addict. And luckily, God saved my baby, and I was able to quit the cocaine during the mid-trimester of having the baby. And after I had my baby, I was devastated because now I'm this child trying to raise this young child. And so I began to try and find nannies for this child because I didn't even know what I was doing. And I had to work late nights, and I had men coming and going in the house. After a while, when you go back to the strip club, men are always proposing to you. You know, you can't say, no, I'm not going to do prostitution. It creeps up on you in the strip club. You're tired. You're working 8 hours. You're trying to take care of a baby. And this guy says he's going to give you $200 for an hour instead of working all night. So prostitution came back into my life. And the men became very, very abusive, making demands. All men do to women in the sex industry is make demands on them. Your thighs are too fat, you should get liposuction. Your nose is too little, you should fix it. Your hair is not pretty, you should make it more blonde. All the time, just telling me, grabbing you, how much, pulling your hair, slapping your butt constantly. And most of the men are married. I can still see the shiny reflections of their wedding rings under those red hot lights whenever I danced. And you know what the message that men sent to me my whole life? Is they could never, ever be trusted. And so I began to get back at every man who ever hurt me. And rage. Rage from what my father did to me. Rage from all the men hurting me. And I became a full-on alcoholic and drug addict. And I didn't care about myself. I tried to commit suicide a couple times. Both of my wrists have scars from trying to kill myself because I absolutely hated the sex industry. No woman wants to be in the sex industry. I don't care how well we can lie and tell you we love it. See how easy I did that? That's because we are trained seals in the sex industry. We lie to men. Satan is our father, the father of lies. The native tongue of the sex industry and the porn industry is to lie and tell you how much we love it. We love sex. Oh, yeah, baby, we love it. And then we would go home and get drunk on Jack Daniels, and I would look at God and go, if you'll just get me out of this, if you love me at all, I'll serve you my whole life. No answer. Have you ever just cried out to God over and over and over again, and you don't get any answer? And I began to think God was mean and distant and didn't care. I loved Jesus, but I didn't like his father. And so as I continued to go on in this vicious cycle of trying to survive, doing drugs, alcohol, staying up till like 6 in the morning, waking up at 2 in the afternoon, my little baby at 2 years old, she knew how to make her own breakfast. Little Tiffany would just like put her little cereal and her milk. Or what do you eat with your eat? Soda with her cereal. Soda. And I was a horrific parent. All women in the sex industry are terrible parents. Even if we pay for nannies to help us, we still have to have the child sleep with us and wake up with him. And I started pulling tricks again because I got sick of the strip club. Men are making demands of me all night. I got to wear heels for 8 hours. I'm tired. I'm being, these were prostitution. I might get a dinner, and it's only about an hour or 2 hours. I had no other options. There were no rescue missions for women in the sex industry. And the whole 8 years I was in the sex industry, not one Christian reached out to me. Clearly, they recognized what kind of woman I was. But no Christian reached out to me. Many times I saw beautiful families walk by where they just looked at me and went. And I utterly hated myself. And after going in that vicious cycle, you're going to quit, you're going to stop doing prostitution, you're going to do stripping, it goes back to prostitution, it's just a cycle, you can't get out of it. And I cried out to God, please save me. Jesus, if you love me, like you said when I was a little girl, please save me. And then when I was in the strip club, I haven't shared this part yet, but it's really special to me. God began to visit me. And I remember dancing. I'd be so overwhelmed with God's presence visiting me while I'm half naked. And the song Silent Lucidity says, I'm watching over you. And I'd be dancing, weeping. And I would have to put a scarf tie my face because the customers wouldn't pay me. They saw me crying. I go, what are you doing? Why are you following me? Why are you pursuing me? You don't take care of me. Why don't you take care of me? And so I was so burned out after 6 years that a porn star came inside the strip club one night. And she saw me. She goes, ooh, you're such a hot dancer. You should like be in porn. I'm like, porn? This is in the 90s before the internet boom. And back then it was a very small industry. And I go, porn? How is it safe? She goes, of course it's safe. We're the cleanest people in the world. You just get an HIV test every 30 days. And so I said, okay, how much a movie? She goes, $2,000. And it's legal. I said, legal? Well, now you're talking. Because I had been ditching the cops for 6 years. Or sleeping with them. And so I said, all right, I'll go for it. So anyways, I showed up to my first amateur scene. It was in Hollywood. And I'm nervous. I'm drinking. I'm snorting meth. I'm like, oh my gosh. Of course, I was never sober in the sex industry. And I remember when I approached those tall red doors, it was like I was walking into hell. It was the final frontier of Satan. And even I knew this is a bad deal. And so I opened up those doors and I could feel a dark force just kind of drawing me in, just kind of possessing me and saying, this is the way you need to go. And in the corner I looked over and there's a big fluffy couch and lights and wipies. What are those for? Over in this corner is an old man smoking a cigar and he's just yelled out fine. And then there's all these people walking around with no shame, just walking around, just only pumps, totally naked. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is bad. I got to get out of here. I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, no girl just goes into porn and says, I can't wait to do it. I mean, when you get on that set, then you see the reality of what really goes on and you are scared and you need drugs and you need alcohol. And that's exactly what I did. I went into the back room, changed and took more drugs and alcohol. And then they called my name. And I was so frightened. I didn't have what it took. I didn't know how to talk to these people, how you greet them. And all of a sudden, the director explains the scene, and the scene gets started, and a dark force literally came down on me. He says, Shelley, I'll make you famous, and everyone will love you. And I became a wild, ravaging Roxy the porn star. Overnight, I was supernaturally empowered by Satan himself to do sex acts that I had never done before in prostitution. And while you're empowered during the movie, at the very end of the movie or end of the scene, what happens is Satan takes his power away and you fall apart right there. And I started crying and I was trying to hide my face with the wipe. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I felt just like I did when I was a little girl. Violated, dirty, ugly, unworthy. And they threw a card at me and says, call us, we'll get you another scene. And by then you're just like, maybe I can just go back to prostitution or stripping. Or maybe I can just do this. At least it's quicker money. I'm tired. I don't care. And so I began to get more involved in harder and harder porn, where the pornographer who became my new dad, Satan sent me another dad. So the veteran porn star was my mom now, And the pornographer was my dad. And he'd say, come sit in my lap. Roxy, I'm so proud of you. You're going to be the next biggest, hottest porn star. You're going to go far, baby. And at that time, I was also trying to get into Hollywood. All the girls in porn are trying to get into Hollywood. That's why we're over there. But it wasn't true. It was a lie that I believed. I wasn't going to ever be in Hollywood. And after about 30 movies and being involved in very hardcore, terrible, terrible hardcore porn, I got burned by the porn industry. They promised I'd be kept safe, but I caught 2 sexually transmitted diseases in only 30 movies. One of them was HPV, human papillomavirus, which later led to me having cervical cancer. And the other one was herpes, a non-curable disease. I was devastated, to say the least. I woke up in the morning and just saw sores all over me. I looked like a monster. Cracked lips, a huge quarter-sized red sore right in my throat, all over. And I heard the devil laugh at me. No one will ever want you now. You should just kill yourself, Shelley. Yeah. I should just kill myself. And I just went and got a whole bunch of prescription pills. I didn't care at all. This was not for me to try to get attention. I wanted to die. I tried to die. And I just took all those pills. And I said goodbye to my daughter, kissed her on the cheek. I said, Mommy loves you. But I can't take care of you anymore. And so the next morning, after going to the hospital, I had my stomach pumped. I woke up and I didn't die again. And I began to cry out to God, why don't you just let me die? You're not helping me anyways. Always complaining to him. In fact, Jesus used to come out on the porn set and weep in the corner looking at me. It's terrible. Do you know how hard it is to know Jesus and be convicted right there in the porn set? I used to tell him, get away from me. In fact, I used to drink more alcohol just so the Holy Spirit would be quiet. I don't want to hear the conviction. You're not helping me anyways. Go wait outside. Jesus pursued me. And let me tell you something. Women in the sex industry, we know how to pray. We're praying for dear life. I prayed every single day I was in the sex industry. And so after I got burned, I quietly left porn. I turned off the phones. I said, no way. And I just closed my curtains. And I just sat in my house. And I started to get into the occult and the new age. I actually was able to manipulate my powers and go like this and make things move. I put my daughter across the room and just, boom, she'd fall against the thing. I was playing the Ouija board. You know, Satan had entered me at a very young age, but the porn industry was the full-blown demonic possession. I actually have video footage of me snarling, full of the devil. It's not even human. I wrote my book last year and I had to watch all my old movies so I could really understand what happened to me. And when I saw that, I went, my God, I was so sick and demonized. Everyone is demonized in the porn industry. There's not one person who is not serving Satan in the porn industry. Satan is our father. And in fact, I've studied the devil's tarot card, and the picture is of Satan sitting on a throne with chains to a naked human, a female and a male. His throne is the porn industry. So whenever you view porn, you are worshiping the devil. In fact, when you view porn, you're becoming one with prostitutes and all her lovers. I had been with hundreds of men. So when someone viewed my porn, they were taking on soul ties that I already had, plus with me, and I took on theirs. I had so many demons from all the men that I had soul ties with that I was fully possessed by the time I was in the porn industry. So demons were everywhere. I was, you know, snorting meth and drinking alcohol and trying to figure out what I was going to do. I wasn't sure if I was going back to prostitution or, and I just said, God, if you get me out of this, I promise you I'll serve you my whole life. No answer. 8 years of crying out to God after Jesus made me that promise when I was a little girl. How dare he? I thought, must be my fault. I'm just so utterly unforgivable. He doesn't want me anymore. And so, not long after, I was in a bar trying to make a deal. Black-hearted, hated men. I had absolutely no love inside of me. Didn't even love my daughter. Didn't love myself. just existing in nothingness, meaningless. And a man came over to me and he said, "You want to play pool?" I'm like, "No." "For drinks?" "Yeah." So we started playing pool and hanging out, and you know, he looked like an apple pie guy. Like he looked real innocent. In fact, he was there to hear a band. I was there to pull a trick. And he said, "Can I call you?" I said, "No, I don't date. Cash only, okay? I'm black-hearted. I don't want men. I just want the money." He goes, "Well, we need a stripper for a bachelor party." I'm like, "Right. If you saw a naked woman, you'd probably throw up." Like, he was so innocent looking. In fact, he was the first man in many years to talk to my eyes. "Hey, Shelley, you know, where do you live?" You know, I'm like, that's really different for me because most men talk to my body parts. But after a while, the man kept calling and calling me to go out with him. And I kept saying, "No, I can't. I have to work. I need money." I kept hinting, you know, about the money. And then finally he says, "Well, I got meth. I could take you out and get high. You want to fly?" I go, "Well, yeah, porn stars love drugs. Why didn't you say so?" And so I began to hang out with this guy playing pool, and we actually became friends. This man was nice with me. And then I had him over in my apartment, which most girls in the sex industry, we don't have men in our apartments. It's, you know, at least not ones that we like, you know, for pulling a trick maybe. But the whole deal in the sex industry is we're not allowed to love, and no one's allowed to love us, period. There's no love in the porn industry. It's a hateful, careless, loveless industry. And so when he came over, he actually brought meth to my house, and we started snorting meth, getting high. And next thing you know, the Bible's by me. I always had my Bible. Yeah, can you believe that? And so we opened up the Bible, and we were high, and I'm like, he's snorting. I go, "Dude, look at Joshua, and he did like conquest, and Moses, and oh my gosh, like you're part of the Red Sea." And next thing you know, we're talking, and I'm realizing, whoa, wait a minute. My demons in me are like, "Whoa, how did this guy come into your apartment? You're sitting here reading the Bible." And then he looked at me, the man, and he said, "Shelley, what happened to you?" And so I go, "Well, if he wants to know," I started telling him. The drugs started telling him. And this guy had so much compassion for me that he held my hand. He says, "Shelley, I'm so sorry that happened to you." And I ripped my hand away. I go, "No, no, 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 no love. No love. Who is this in my apartment? Get out." I knew I had a big black can of worms and was going to explode if I received any love. And I really physically felt almost a heart attack when he was being kind to me. I went, "Oh my God." It's very real physical pain when someone loves you and you haven't been loved your whole life. And so the guy kept coming back to my house, and one time he came back and I ripped open the door mad that he kept coming over without asking, and he had a big box of rags. He says, "Shelley, I came over to clean your house. It's so dirty." And I'm like, this guy just walks right in, he starts cleaning my kitchen and everything, and I'm just like, and I just started smoking a cigarette like this. This is bad. This is bad. The demons are like, "This is really bad. And you need to get him out of the house." And then God, I could feel God going, "Shelley, I've sent him to you." And I'm like, "He's not even my type. He's like tall and blonde and kind of hairy. I date bad boys, mean people, you know. This guy's too nice for me. Apple pie guy. There's no way." And so he just came to me, you know, Garrett is his name. He says, "Shelley, God told me I'm supposed to marry you and rescue you." I said, "No, no, 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 you can't marry me. I'm bad. I'm really sick. Lots of demons, like legions of demons. Like, rah, you know, like I could bite you, I could hurt you. You don't want me. No." And he goes, "No, Shelley," he would approach me, "God said I'm supposed to marry you and rescue you." And I just said, "Get out," because I knew in my heart he was going to leave me and hurt me like every other man ever did. No man could be trusted. Don't break the rules, Shelley. No love. But he kept coming over, and it felt so good. He was my friend. He cared about me, and he cared about my daughter. Even my daughter was hardened. At 4 years old, she was hardened. She goes, "Oh, another guy." And poor little Tiffany, she'd get so excited when a man would come over to say he wanted to marry me, and then he'd leave. And she became hardened. In fact, Tiffany, she actually started viewing my porn at 4 years old. That's how she discovered what her mom did. And poor little Tiffany at 4 years old started masturbating. And the devil would tell her, "Just kill yourself." And she would like grab a knife to go kill herself. And I would walk downstairs, and then The devil says, that's okay, Tiffany. You can do it next time. And so I was sitting in my bedroom, just demons in me were freaking out, going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And God's like, Shelley, you've been praying. I'm answering. And I knew in my heart, if this guy wants to marry a single mother who's burned out on drugs and alcohol and has herpes, and that's his problem, I might as well do it. At least he's nice. He has a job. I guess I could have sex with him. I have sex with rails. Who cares? I didn't care. So on February 14th, we got married in a city hall because his mother was like, no way, you are not marrying her, okay? They knew what I was. He comes from a really big Dutch family. I was like, when I saw his relatives, I was like, I was going to vomit. All this like love between the families. I'm like, what's that? Why are there so many of you? Where's your grandpa and grandma live here? And your aunt lives here? And your mom and dad live here? Oh, man, what is going on? What is God doing to me? I would have panic attacks just to be around that big family. And they knew what I was. And so nobody wanted to see us get married, so we had to go to City Hall. And I remember I just walked up in the front because I knew it all and I was the boss of him. I said, Garrett, I'll do it, because my husband was really sweet and stuff. And so I walked up to the front and I go, how much for the marriage license? And they're like, that'll be $35. I go, and God spoke to me. He says, $35 to get in the sex industry and $35 to get out. And I began to see God's care for me. I began to look, where were you all those years? He had a lot of explaining to do to me. And so my husband ended up joining the military, and they sent us off to Washington State where it rains 300 days a year. I'm like a sunny California girl party, you know. I'm like, what are you doing? You're trying to heal me? And I'm sitting here going, I hate this place. I feel more suicidal. I call it the dungeon. God had to take me to a dungeon to help me. And of course, I blame my husband. It's your fault we're here. I hate this place. You know, I just blamed him for everything. If the weather was wrong, I blamed him. If there wasn't enough money, I blamed him. It was always his fault. If I wasn't happy in marriage, I blamed him. If he wasn't good in bed, I blamed him. Blamed him for everything. I was a battle axe. That's what he used to call me. And as when a woman leaves an environment like the porn industry or the sex industry, you know, when you're in that, you're Vietnam vet, you're bad, you know, you've got your defense mechanism. I love it. I'm tough. Nobody tells me what to do. These girls are tough. They can take it. Take a beating. That's how I was. But when I got put in a new environment by a bunch of military moms and all their babies, and I'm like, all of a sudden the trauma started coming up terrible, and I started having convulsions and nightmares and flashbacks, and I couldn't even function. It was horrible. And then I was pregnant on top of it with his baby. God locked me into the deal right away. Gained like 60 pounds from the stress. I am fat. You know, talk about the school of humility. Overnight, I went from having like sugar daddies giving me money, paying my bills. You get my gas, and you get my chicken tacos I want, and I want my seafood and all my... This is what I did for 8 years. Men just did whatever I said. But it wasn't like that with my husband. My new husband says, we don't have any money, Shelley. You can't eat seafood or anything. I'm like, no, I don't eat meat. I don't eat meat. I'm like, well, you do now. And I'm like, and I need clothes. Well, you have to go to the Salvation Army. And on Tuesdays, it's 50% off. I'm like, oh my gosh. I looked at God and I go, this is your big, amazing rescue of my life? You suck. So I went and got those thrift shop clothes, and I got Tiffany some thrift shop clothes, and I'm pregnant out to here, and I went to the metal. I couldn't. The first time in my life I had medical insurance now in the military. I hadn't been to a dentist in 8 years. I'd only gone to a doctor to have Tiffany. I hadn't taken care of my health. Women in the porn industry don't take care of their health. We take care of our looks, but not our health. And so when I went to the medical facility, I decided to go to mental health because I was falling apart. I was sleeping all day. I had severe depression. You couldn't even get me out of bed. I didn't care. And I didn't understand why I was falling apart like this. And so when I went to the facility, they're used to, like, you know, combat vets. But I think I impressed them. He says, well, what seems to be the problem? I'm not sleeping well. I sleep all day, or I have convulsions, nightmares, flashbacks. I hate myself. I want to kill myself. You want to kill yourself? And I go, no, I did before, you know, because I thought they're going to take away my baby, Tiffany. And so I begin to tell him everything. What are you talking about? Where did this come from? What happened to you? After I told him everything for like what seemed a couple of hours, he just took the paper and he went, wow. And he said, let me prescribe you for Zoloft. You need sleeping pills. You need Naprosyn for all your joint pain from stripping. You need counseling for 20 years and SAD treatment, which is seasonal adjustment disorder treatment, where you have to sit under a light. So I'm supposed to sit under a light with this, with my baby I'm going to have, and just sit there. You know, it was stupid. Then he told me I need anger management videos, which made me more angry. So I went home steaming, fuming before God, saying, what kind of recovery is this? I'm taking these pills and it makes me feel like a wallflower. So it makes me feel worse. I'm numb. Wow, everything's just not there. Just numb. And God just spoke to me. He says, Shelly, how'd you like just to be healed? Just throw out the whole new life and we'll just start over. Transform you. And I'm like, how? He goes, church. I go, oh, no. I can't go to church. I can't go to church. They're going to see a big P on me. So you have to go to church. You're not going to get healed any other way. And so I just put my finger in the phone book and went, my little prophetic psychic gift. Pick that one in the phone book. It's called the Champion Center. And so we drive up in this big fancy church and all these fancy looking people, all our beautiful kids and smiling happy mothers and fathers. I'm like, ugh, hate family. My husband is like really sweet. Yay, we're at church. And he grew up in church. He grew up in Christian school. He's like Mr. Perfect. Okay? He had like all these trophies. His mom loved him and worshiped him. I'm like, you are irritating and annoying. I can't believe I married you. So we walk into this church and all you hear is, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I'm like, ew, get me out of here. Where's the exit? Garrett goes, come on, Shelly, we're going to just go to church. It's okay. We'll be all right. I go, oh, jeez, where's the exit? Where's the exit? I got to go to the bathroom. Exit, exit. Because I'm the great escape con artist, right? I want to escape. But all of a sudden, this young pastor comes on. I'm like, what, he's like 30? Like, I'm going to listen to him. I'm like 26 going on like 80. He comes out and he goes, success begins on Sunday. Today, we're going to learn how to pass the 9 tests that prove your personal potential. I'm like, what? Personal what? So I just sat there and went, okay. And all of a sudden this man, he just stopped and he just went like this. And he pointed right to me and said, do you know that there's a champion in you? And the little girl in me started freaking out, going, yes, that's me. I've been in here your whole life. Let me out. I want to come out. I'm not made for porn. I'm not made for the sex industry. I'm not made to be unloved. I'm worthy. I'm worth something. The little girl in me was like, it just leapt out of me. My spirit was leaping at what he said to me. It was my funeral. It was the funeral of that girl who used to live in my body. And his last words were, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I went, I got to resist the devil. I got to get out of here. And I went home. I said, Jesus, if you really love me, you've got to help me. And I just felt the presence of the Lord come in. And I also felt a dark presence there. But the Lord just took my hand and says, with me, all things are possible. And so I started going to that church, learning all these things that I had never been taught as a child. Like, you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. Or a man is as he thinks. I'm like, oh, I think I'm a horn terrible. I think I'm the ugliest, stupidest creature that was ever made on the first face of the earth. No wonder I hate myself so much. And then you tell me about my father, God. And he wants to be a father to me. Yeah, I wasn't too happy about it at first. But he swooped me up in his wings and goes, Shelly, I want to be your father. I'm your father. I'm not like your father on earth. I'm a good father. And so he began to bless me as I followed him. He began to do little things. I was just like a little baby walking, going, okay, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. And then I would go home and I would try and cook dinner. I never cooked or cleaned when I was a sex worker. Porn stars don't cook and clean. And so I started cooking meals and I started doing like the wash, and his mom helped me a lot. She's Dutch. She was born with a rag in her hand. She's like, you're going to clean. You're going to take care of my son. I'm like, best mentor I ever had. She scared me so bad I obeyed. And here's your KitchenAid supplies. And here's your food supplies. And here's your white towels. Oh, we have so many white towels at my house. I have a rag in my hand. So I go, okay, your mom hates me, but I'm going to obey. And we were so poor in the military that she would come and take me to Target. And she lived in California, and she'd fly to Washington just to make sure everything was in order. And I had her grandbaby, so I was like, see, I did one thing good. That was. But so as you begin to follow God's principles and learn little things like draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And God says, Shelley, I have over 400 promises in my word. Test me in any of them. I am a promise keeper. And so I begin to test him that, you know, like if I give, then he'll give back to me. And if I love, I can fail-proof my life. If I'm patient and kind, and I don't boast in evil, and I rejoice with the truth, then I can have love never fails. If you do verses 4 through 7, you get 8. And God knew I was a little barterer. I had a prostitute mind, so I would do something, but he had to give me something. And that's what he did. He met a prostitute. Where she was at. He said, that's exactly what I want you to do. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. That's a promise. So I went, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start practicing God's principles on purpose. So then I can start being blessed. And he says, Shelley, if you meditate on my word day and night, you'll be prosperous and successful in all you do. And so I started getting into the word, man, pouring it. And at first I couldn't read very well because I had those bad grades in high school. So I had to get DVDs and CDs and Christian television as much as I could stomach and pour all that in. Thanks, Joyce Meyer. Yeah. Joyce Meyer was awesome. She taught me how the battlefield was in the mind. My problem was how I was thinking. I had stinking thinking, according to my pastor. Negative about everything, hated everything. But as time went on, I started to have a better attitude, started to stand a little bit taller, started to look a little bit like a champion. In fact, my first job for God was in the children's ministry, and I took it on proudly. I changed those poopy diapers. And pum, 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 pum. I'm a mom now. The kids love me in children's ministry. In fact, it was so smart of God for me to heal from all the damage from all the men. He took me away and he put me in children's ministry so I could be a little girl again. So I play with all the little kids. Noah's Ark, what? Because I was animated too, and the little kids loved me, and I'd pinch their chubby little arms. We had so much fun. And then there were times that God would say, Shelley, I want you to come, and I want you to spend time with me and just weep. I wept for 3 straight years. My husband was the Kleenex king. He didn't know what to do for me. He just kept going. Because I would just start bursting out in tears everywhere. I'd be like, I just start bursting out. You don't even know why, but you're grieving. And so as I began to grieve, I went to the Pacific Ocean in Washington. God gave me the entire ocean to cry in. And I went up there and those waves were coming up, me weeping. He said, see how it's gone from you, Shelley. As far as the east is from the west, I'm just sweeping all that sin away from you. I'm cleansing you. You're cleansed. My son died for you to be clean. You have freedom in Christ to grow, Shelley. Even if you fall, I want you to get back up. Champions, get back up. Champions, get back up. And when you feel too dirty and you can't go before God, that's the time you want to go before God. And if God can take someone like me and let me go before him, boldly come to the throne room of grace, you said I could boldly come in here. Why do I keep drinking? It took me about 6 years to stabilize. But after 8 years of just pouring in the word, turned off the radio, turned off the stereo. I was on a military base. I wasn't anywhere around civilians. I was focused, poured that word in. I was in that church every time those doors opened. I was using my talents and giftings to serve God. Oh yeah, God used an ex-prostitute right away to work in the nursery. In fact, when I went to the medical clinic, I got to share one of my best miracles with you. I want to build your faith so God's going to do miracles in your life today. I went to the doctor's office for one of my babies, and they asked me a shameful question. Have you had any STDs? I said, oh man, I'm doing so good with God. Why does the devil have to keep bringing my past up to me? I could hear him laughing. Going, good luck getting over your past, whore. That's what he used to say to me. And I embarrassed. I said, yes, I had herpes, non-curable disease. She goes, oh, well, you might have to have a C-section so you don't infect the baby. And oh, I felt horrible. Here was my chance to give birth, and just broke my heart. And then she says, would you like to be in a study for women with herpes for the United States Army? I said, sure. What do I get? She goes, ultrasounds. I go, all right, I'll do it, as long as I get something to barter. Then they called me in 2 weeks and said, you've got to come down to the clinic. And I said, what's wrong with my baby? What's wrong? I get there, and this woman goes, ma'am, the United States Army says you cannot be in the testing because you do not have the herpes virus. I went, what? I was on Zovirax. What are you saying? I don't have herpes. And God spoke to me right there, and he goes, I just threw that in extra for following me. I barely was good at the champion principles, but he saw my heart. You don't have to be perfect to be healed. You just have to have, this is, humble your heart. God looks to and fro the earth at the heart. My heart. I wanted to be a good girl for God. I wanted to follow with all my heart. And look what he did for me. He, like a good daddy. Now he became my daddy, my Abba. And he began to continue to bless me and bless me and bless me. And we finally left the military. And I swore to God, literally to him, that I would not be going back to California. I would be going to Texas, way down deep south, so I would never go back to California. I love Texas, by the way. That's right. Texas is the last best state in the United States. But God had other plans, and he kept telling me, California. And I go, I'm not going back to California. I left California with 7 warrants for my arrest. Reckless, mainly reckless driving. And so when I finally did go to California, my little body hears music and wants to dance. So finally I went back to California and I lived this perfect life. My kids were blessed. My husband was blessed. My kids were in private school. He got a great job because he went to school in the military to be a cardiovascular tech. It's almost like I married a doctor. Well, I have like negative 400 credit and now I'm a homeowner. Just overwhelmed by God's goodness. I built this huge garden for God with my husband just so I could be with God in the garden every day. I was so spoiled. Pruning my roses, and he'd be talking about dead areas in my life I need to cut out, and all the beauty. He would come and visit me profoundly. He was visiting me so profoundly at night. Even my husband, it was really hard to be romantic with him, because I'm like, God's talking to me right now, like a lot. And then we found a different church. You know, I was used to the Champion Center where they taught you wisdom. So I went to this new church. It was a prophetic church. Prophet? What's prophetic? What's that? This hotshot prophet gets on top of the stage and says, all right, Holy Spirit wants to move tonight. Some of you are sticking out like sore thumbs. You right there, stand up. I'm like, me? Yep, you stand up. God says to you, you're bold. I'm like, well, that might be true. She goes, but you're going to even get bolder. God's going to make you so brassy and bold. You're going to go cling, 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 cling in a restaurant and go, do you want to be delivered through Jesus Christ? Now is the time. And I was so frightened to go out and eat. I said, what is this crazy lady? These people are crazy. Then she calls me up on the stage and she goes, come here, you. Slaps my hand with some kind of fire and it says, you are a Deborah. You have the Deborah's anointing. You're going to lead thousands of men into war. And I'm like, thousands of men in war? Who's Deborah? I didn't even know who she was. And then she says, come here. And then she prayed for me. She put this fire in and whoa, man. I was like, this is a whole weird deal. This is a weird deal. And I went and sat down, and my spirit, though, was leaping. I'm like, what is that? And then this little old lady came up to me, and she goes, oh, honey, the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you his warrior bride. I go, oh, okay. Okay. So I went home that night. It was quiet. I was by the computer on Google, and God's right there. I know his presence. I've been with him for years. I said, if this is you, you have to prove it. These people are quacks. God says, tell me how I'll prove it. What do you want? I go, all right, Mr. God, I will type in Deborah's anointing and warrior bride, and those two terms have to come up on one web page, not a website, a page. So I did it, and all of a sudden, there's this one link, and it says anointed for war. And I went, click. And right on the thing, it says, warrior, bride, anointings, Deborah's anointing. And I fell out of my chair. I was like, who's Deborah? And the Lord began to speak to me. And that lady, that same prophet, also told me, you're the church fire alarm. You're supposed to warn the church of the prophetic message. What is a prophetic message? So I began to seek God, and I began to feel that warrior rise up in me. And then in 2004, in the middle of the night, 3:30 a.m., the Holy Spirit wakes me up and says, put your story on a website. I'm not putting my story on a website. All these moms think I'm the cupcake queen now, the field trip mom. I couldn't possibly let anyone know that I had done porn. No way. The Holy Spirit's like, you're going to do it anyways with your hands, whether you want to or not. Because that's what he does. You've been there? Okay, I was like, wow, whoa, website, whoa. I put it up and went, well, no one's going to find it. Oh, yeah? What started happening was men started writing me, saying, Shelly, thank you so much for your story. It really helped me. I've been addicted to porn since I was 7 years old when I saw Playboy. Thank you for your story. It healed me. Shelly, thank you so much for telling your story. I found healing at your website. Thanks for telling the truth about porn. You humanized the industry for me. You told the truth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on with all these men viewing porn? You know, I just got out of the military. And so I learned that there was a porn addiction, a worldwide porn pandemic. And God looked at me and goes, yep. And in the middle of it, I raise up an ex-porn star. I go, yeah, my whole life changed immediately. And next thing you know, God has me testifying before congressional staff about some of the horrors. Like, for example, 18, 19, 20-year-old girls join the porn industry and they're taken to private locations to film on a mostly male set. Older males, that's sex trafficking. Women are forced, coerced, lured in, and threatened to do sex acts that they don't agree to. And I don't care if those veteran porn stars tell you how much they love it. I did that too. But you know what? I was sex trafficked too when I was in the porn industry. Forced to do sex acts I never wanted to do. Threatened that if I didn't do them, I would get hurt or sued. And you know, a lot of the girls in porn just don't realize they have rights. And so God told me, I want you to start Pink Cross Foundation. I want you to march into that porn convention. I want you to rescue those girls. I want you to tell them they're worth something. They're made for better things than porn, that Jesus Christ loves them. He wants to deliver them. He wants to free them. And so I began to reach out to these girls. Begin to reach out. And they begin to tell me even worse horrors. Now the porn industry has grown 20 times itself since I was in it. Because of the internet. 420 million pages of porn hosted by the good old United States. 40 million irregular American viewers. Not sure how many Canada has, but since I've been here, a lot of the men have confessed that they viewed pornography, and God's been delivering them. And God promised me, Shelly, if you'll go do this. I said, God, if I go do this, I'm going to die with the ex-porn star label on my life. Satan says, you better believe you will. In fact, Satan came to visit me one night and he says, Shelly, this is my world system. You're not going to F with my system. And I looked at him, I said, talk to Jehovah. And do you want to know that we have been fighting? I've been fighting and testifying since 2008 in a court setting in front of Congress, state capitol. And let me tell you, that industry is coming down because now I got a whole bunch of group of ex-porn stars who joined me and we're all testifying. And just last week, Los Angeles City Council made a precedent historic move. They told the porn industry, after hearing all this testimony about the horrific work conditions and the illegal treatment of women and bodily fluids everywhere and not following any safety and health, they demand that the porn industry now has to use a condom and has to follow safety and health laws. And you know for a fact that no illegal operating porn industry has the guts or ability to do it, and they're going down. God is smashing this. He's smashing it from all different angles. He's smashing it over here from the sex trafficking. I'm fighting the labor laws. I'm over here fighting safety and health. And they're like, how can you fight safety and health? Don't you want the porn industry to come down? I said, of course. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's called strategy. So praise, all praise to Yahweh. He's doing so much. He rescued almost 100 girls. God has freed them. I've seen him do miracles. We go into conventions and pray. We cast out demons. And other ministries think we're kind of wild or too. I don't care what anybody thinks. I know that what God gave me, he said I can give to others. Anything, all of my pain, he promised me every ounce of my pain will be used for good. You need deliverance today. You need freedom. You need Jesus. You definitely need Jesus. He is the only way you're ever going to live a champion life. He is the only person who can heal you from porn addiction or from sexual abuse, trauma, addiction, disease. Everything he healed me in, I just want to pass it on to you. God promised me that he would do that. So right now, I don't know if we have some worship music. I want us to come into the presence of God. I want you to know my Jesus. I want you to know the Jesus that heals porn stars, who heals addicts. He heals chief sinners. And you know what? God even took all those pornographic images and took them away. Satan couldn't remind me of my past anymore because I was so filled with the Word of God. I had filters on. I cast down anything that does not come into alignment with the Word of God. I take every thought captive. A lot of people have come up to me this weekend and told me all their problems, everything that's going on. And one of the main things I see is you're not thinking right. You need to know who your God is. Nothing's impossible for him. He's a promise keeper. He'll keep every single promise. He will deliver you. You're not too ugly for him. You're not too unworthy. You're not too porned out for him. I was more porned out than you, I guarantee it. And I went up to that church every Wednesday and Saturday until I got my freedom. I declared war on Satan. So I'm getting everything God says I can get. And he wants to do that for you. And right now, I want to invite you. This is very important. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him. I want you to be bold. The word says those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift them up. He's lifted me up so high, all I do is I'm going to places like Cambridge University to debate Congress. How did someone like me who was drunk on Jack Daniels just a few years ago, now suddenly I'm high and lifted up. In fact, he goes too high for me. I go, no, that's too much. I don't want to go there. No, shall you? I go, I can't speak. Yeah, you can. Boop, and Holy Spirit does. You know, he says, Shelly, the humble, I lift the humble. And I'm telling you, this church is so humble. He wants to lift you up today. He wants to heal you, deliver you. And so I just want to invite people, especially if you don't know Jesus. I want you to know my Jesus. I actually want to challenge some of you just to come up here right now before him. Receive your deliverance and your freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. I would love to pray for you, the prayer team. They're around. They want to come pray. And if you don't know Jesus, I personally want to lead you to Jesus. I don't care what you've done. You don't have to feel ugly. See, look at this humble.
I was in diapers when I was first.
Woo! This is humility right now. Praise God. Come up here. Let's get in the presence of the Lord together.